Everybody, welcome back. This is Metal Goddess Jen, and tonight I am joined by the boys from Broken Romeo. How you guys doing?
Doing good. Great. Doing very, very well, Jen. How are you doing?
I am doing really good myself. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me a little bit tonight. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
And thank you for playing us.
Absolutely.
Oh, you guys are awesome. You're like my new favorite. I've been playing ever since I got the EP. I've been playing it over and over again. And yeah, it's really good stuff. You guys are really good.
Appreciate it. Actually, we have a full album. I only sent you like a couple songs. So it's a full 11 song album.
Oh, I have the album. Somebody sent it to me.
Oh, good.
Somebody from you guys sent it to me.
So, oh, awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. So let's just go ahead and start with the first question. Can you introduce yourselves to everybody and your role in the band?
James, go first.
James Turpin. I am the singer, and I also play guitar.
Steve Turpin. I play guitar, and I also sing a little.
Ari Sloan, bass guitar, and Matt Ringnell, who is not with us, plays drums.
He's not in the room. He's still with us. He's not in the room.
He had to clarify that, huh?
Yeah, he might have fallen down the stairs on the way out, but odds aren't good.
What is the history of your band? How was it formed and all that good stuff?
Well, actually, the three of us, Ari, Steve, and myself, all worked at the Warehouse Records, if you can believe it. It's an actual record store.
Yeah.
They didn't have records, but they had CDs. And
no, they had records. So
anyways, the three of us worked at a record store together, and so we were around music all the time. And my brother Steve at that time had delusions of grandeur and thought he was a guitar player. And Ari and I were good friends, and Ari was actually, back then, even now, I was a big U2 fan. And Ari was in a U2 cover band, and so we hit it off. So we got together and did the best we could, and actually got a couple other guys to play with. But we needed a lead guitar player. And so I'm like, who could we get? I looked, of course, I thought of my loving brother, Steve. And then when I went to him, he told me to go, jump in a lake. You see, I play with guitars. I'm doing my own thing. And, but we eventually talked him into it. And that's kind of how the band got started.
And that was, it was like 1989?
Yeah.
Oh my
god! We've been around a while. We've taken some long breaks.
Well, sometimes
We started when we were seven.
Yeah. And the
Warehouse was hiring child labor back then. But yeah, that's kind of how we all got together. And, we've been together ever since. Look how far we've come.
So what is the who are your influences as a band?
We have, as individuals, we all have many different influences. Steve's really into polka.
bagpipes.
Yeah,
and bagpipes.
And kilts.
Yeah, we won't go there.
I can speak for kind of Steve and myself, but we grew up in Germany. My dad was an officer in the army. My mom was German, but we were really, really big, like, Queen fans, ELO fans, Pink Floyd fans. That kind of arena rock, kind of grandiose rock from the 70s. And to this day, we're still big, Queen fans and ELO fans. And then myself, I was always a big U2 fan. So I've always kind of liked some of that more chimey rock, UK, British rock. The Cult was a big influence for us, especially early. The Ramones was a big influence for
For you, Steven? For you, maybe.
Yeah, early. So it's kind of like a hodgepodge of sounds, really. Steve?
Mostly, I mean, we like all kinds of stuff, the old stuff, the new stuff, but for, at least for myself, and I think probably for James, I can't speak for Ari or Matt, but we tend to, we're always attracted to the more melodic bands, the bands that, you know, that have the memory, the memorable melody to the song. Mm-hmm. So whether a modern band like Muse or a more classic rock band like Queen or anything in between, that's kind of where, at least I fall. And of course, good guitar playing. I like that too.
Well, and the guys have always teased me because all my influences came from 1970s classic rock and old heavy metal like Iron Maiden, Sabbath.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
That was good stuff. What I still listen to it to this day.
And I would say there was a fair amount of, you know, the kind of grunge influence. So we were always big Soundgarden, Alice.
Oh, yeah,
Chains.
Absolutely. Well, and then we got that from just working at
Warehouse. We were working at Warehouse when grunge hit. Yeah, when grunge hit big.
Yeah.
A lot of hard rock fans out of business.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So. Yeah, it sure did. So, as a band, how do you juggle work, family, and other activities to remain active within the music scene?
Well, Steve and I's wives kicked us out, so we actually live in the practice. But they do have a bar of soap, so that's good.
We have a fridge for beer.
And we have a sleeper sofa, too. But
No, in all seriousness, though, we just fit it in. You know, we typically practice two days a week or two nights a week. It is hard to do because sometimes we have to cancel practices because of kids' birthdays or whatever, going on vacation.
That's so rock.
Yeah. It absolutely is rock. Hey,
you're supposed to tell the truth, Ari. You're supposed to make it grandiose.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, geez. It's, no, I mean, it is what it is. I would be lying if I didn't say the band's a big priority to all of us, obviously, since we've been doing it for so long.
And we definitely have to say positive things for our wives. They've been with us through the years and have supported us absolutely. So,
I mean, and with this last record, we really decided to kind of kick things up a couple notches and really, really try to see what we feel is a really good album and a good product can actually lead us if we actually put it out there for people to listen to. And, you know, so far the response has been quite good, I would say.
Oh, and we're really, really.
Because Jen says it's awesome. So
that,
you know,
she says it's awesome.
And if I say it's awesome, then, you know, it's pretty
damn
good.
Jen told us to quit our jobs and leave our wives. I mean,
No. I didn't say that. I just said it was awesome.
That's what you said.
Didn't you see Boogie Nights?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to still erase that from my mind. That was a horrible movie. All right, I have a question from Claire. She says, hey, guys, so many fantastic bands influence your music, and if you had the opportunity to perform with anyone, who would it be?
Wait, I'll answer that.
Oh, no.
Because I keep
dirty saying, than a minx. Why would you ask that?
No, I say this all the time. I would love for us to open up for Alice in Chains.
Well, that would be a good one.
Mm-hmm. And I think we fit with them, it'd be perfect.
I was thinking Queen could open for us, you know what I'm saying? Freddie was a little, you know, he kind of held things back at the live show, and I was
trying to keep it a little bit more realistic.
Yeah, I know, I wear my spandex.
Well, James is the front man, so that's why he goes. You know.
No, I mean, I think if you're asking, you know, that would be a
right.
I would love to open Alice in Chains. Love to hang with the guys.
Everyone would.
Of course, not the same band without Lane, but their last album was pretty damn big ass. So I don't know if you're a fan of it, but we were big fans of their last album. And we actually went and saw them. They were great. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Alice in Chains, I
See? I know what I'm talking about.
I would personally, if I had a dream, I would say Muse right now. They'd be, someone would be there to see us for sure. So.
That, I think that's what happened.
But, yeah.
What was the question, opening for or playing for?
Performing playing with anybody.
I guess, yeah, is it who we want to open for or who we'd like to actually sit around and jam with?
Well, how about both? Well, we know you want to.
We did. We actually, Steve and I got to spend about a half hour with Brian May.
Nice.
At the Hollywood Bowl backstage. I won't give you the boring details, but actually stick at the gym with Brian for a little while. And he's a huge gentleman, and you know, he's basically.
And he's a big fan of ours.
Yeah, he is. He told us.
Did he mail him a bunch of CDs?
Yeah, he did. Did he ever get back to him? He hasn't found his mailbox yet. I mean, that's a true story. I think I've actually posted the picture of Steve and I and Brian backstage at the Hollywood Bowl. It is definitely one of the highlights of our life because we've been just such huge Queen fans.
That's awesome.
So I guess we've already jammed with our idol, Steve. Freddie wasn't there, so
yeah.
He didn't have a range that I had. I just don't show it off. I'm just kidding.
Okay, so what is the most, what would you say is the most difficult part of being in a band, and what is the best part of being in a band?
Adam. The most difficult part, I'd say what we struggle with most is just time management. Getting enough time to
do all the things you
want to
do.
Yeah, to create the songs and ideas that we have and to practice, juggling that is tough. In our perfect world, we'd have unlimited time.
That would
be great.
Yeah, I think I would like that.
I would say that, and I would also say in a larger sense is to get your music heard, you can have a great record or a bad record or whatever, everything in between. But to actually, if you're not on a label and you're not on, MTV, or MTV doesn't even show music anymore, but, to get people to even listen to your music is a challenge, right?
What did Billy Corgan say?
Yeah, it's like Billy Corgan said it best. It's a drop in the ocean, pebble in the ocean. Yeah. You only hope that pebble can make a wave, and it's a slow process. So, what we've tried to do in earnest, especially after the new record was really kind of try to open ourselves up and work Twitter and Facebook and really try to connect with fans and, try to earn them one at a time. Cool. You probably know, Jen, I've made myself very available on Twitter and trying to talk with people and connect with people that genuinely like our music. And I think that, we're trying to earn fans one at a time. That's just kind of how it is.
And it is a lot easier now than it was when we started in the late 80s.
It's a lot easier, but there's just a lot more music out there now.
True. And then the other half of that question was, what do we like the most?
Yes.
I think it'd probably differ for all of us. For me personally, and this is the way I've been always, is the best thing that I like is being on stage in front of people and watching people enjoy our music.
I love watching people run for the exits. is the place on fire?
Hope not. Don't need that to happen again.
But I think it's different for you guys.
Well, I mean, I think I love being on stage. I love that, and then there is some sort of chemistry that when you're having a good gig that you feed off the audience, they feed off you. And I love that portion of it. There's the live aspect, obviously, that, there's nothing like being able to actually play your songs live and feel like a crowd that's actually into it and digging it. And then on the flip side, I also really enjoy the recording process and creating. You have these songs in their raw sense, and then you know, you hammer them down and you start adding layers. And then in the end, you get something that's, you know, it could be quite different than what you started out with, but something that you're really proud of that's, you know, that is, it's going to be around forever, at least, you know, in a digital sense.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's around, anyone cares is another sense, but at least, you know, we have our recordings. That's what I would say. What do you say, Steve?
I'm pretty much in the same mind. I mean, in an ideal world, if we were touring and, you know, we had unlimited time, the live thing is great when it goes well. I'm more into the creative process and the recording. So that's probably where my passion lies the most, but I like tipping back a few beers and having a good gig too.
And then the throngs
of women,
throwing themselves at you.
That's a whole other story.
Snake charm.
Jeez. Anyways.
We don't call you the snake charm.
Anyways.
Oh my gosh, you guys are funny.
Or is it a worm charm?
Well, I don't know.
So, oh my god. You see what I have to put up with?
Oh, it's okay. I've had to work with worse. Yeah, they could probably say the same thing about me, I'm sure.
It's the World Wide Web. It doesn't have to be true, right?
Yeah.
Well, she doesn't require evidence.
Yeah, you get four of them. Yeah, Photoshop that one, dude. That's too well lit.
So speaking, you know, you guys were talking about the creative process. When it comes to writing the songs, do you all write them, or do you have, you know, a person who does the lyrics, person who does... You know, and do you guys have like special meanings behind any of your songs that you have?
Well,
I mean, I would say it depends, really. There's always, you know, Steve and I have been together a long time, and we're both songwriters. And, you know, there's instances where Steve will bring some songs to the table, and there's instances where I'll bring some songs to the table.
Or just sometimes just an idea or just a riff. Yeah.
We'll come up with a riff, practice just jamming, and then that'll kind of build onto a song.
And then we'll just kind of create that. And it's pretty much always been that way.
Yeah.
Even if one of you guys came with somewhat of a structured song, it usually morphed into something else with the whole band adding their own pieces.
Right. And that's kind of how we've always operated is, you know, even if someone has an idea, or even a finished song, we still allow people to put their own stamp on that song. As far as lyrics, you know, unless Steve brings a song and, you know, that's his song, which does happen. There's, several songs in the album where that happened, but usually I'll write the lyrics.
Yeah. That's kind of James's realm. It always has been. Unless it was one of Steve's songs.
It's kind of funny. Back in the old days, I didn't really care so much about the lyrics, but I found, you know, especially, you know, in the last 10 years, that lyrics have become a much stronger part of what I add to the songs. And yeah, there's definitely some special meaning behind all the songs. Of course, we occasionally have a song where the lyrics are kind of, second fiddle, I guess, is a good word. But for the most part, you know, we really try to concentrate on what we're trying to convey with the song. And usually the lyrics kind of go hand in hand with the overall feel or mood of the music being played.
Mm-hmm.
Although we tend to be a little bit more ambiguous with our lyrics and not quite as in your face and preaching.
You can
interpret them multiple ways most of the time.
Right.
But if you took a specific song, especially with our newer songs, and you asked James, you know, what were you thinking? What do you mean by that? He'll have a special meaning for it.
And I'll tell people that, but I'll ask them, what does the song mean to you? What do you think it's about?
They'll
tell me, oh, this is what I think of. And for instance, we have a song called Coming Home on the new record.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was in the army, but I'm not a military man. Never served my country. I've never been in a war zone. But the whole kind of concept of Desperation Days was basically, you know, the state of the world that we were really feeling, you know, back a year ago or 2 years ago. And one of the sub stories was, you know, someone at war in Afghanistan or Iraq or wherever it will be, and the kind of feelings that I put myself in that situation and wrote kind of how I thought I would react.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in some ways I was a little self-conscious about it because I thought, well, you know, that's, you haven't been there. You shouldn't be writing about that kind of stuff. You know, someone's going to come up and kick your ass for doing that, you know? But I've found just the opposite. I've had a couple of Marines that have actually served, come up to me and actually say it's moved them, you know, and I was like, oh, well, I appreciate that. I know I don't know what I'm talking about. And he goes, dude, you get it. And I said, actually, I don't get it. I said, I'm just, you know, trying to tell a story. And he goes, no, dude, you get it. And so that was kind of a good feeling for me because I genuinely was a little uncomfortable, you know, writing about something that I really had no experience writing about. But, you know, hopefully people know that I meant well and that I was telling the story, just like a writer tells a story.
Well, there's a lot of
answer.
There's a lot of people who write songs about things like that who don't experience, but they, you know, they see it on the news or through friends or like, you know, through family. And there's some very well written songs, you know, by a lot of people who haven't been over there. So,
well, and good point. I actually wrote the lyrics for Coming Home. I think back in, was it 2012? It was probably about 2008, maybe 2007. Mm-hmm. And my son was born in 2006. And the whole kind of feeling with the song was, wow, what if I, you know, left before my son was born? Mm-hmm. Okay, so my wife's pregnant. I'm going on my second tour or first tour of duty. What if I never see him again? What if I never see him born? What if I never see him grow up? I can't teach him the things about being a man and this and that. And that's kind of where that song came from. It was personal to me,
mm-hmm.
although I didn't experience, you know, what I was talking about. It was kind of that feeling of, you know, when you're a parent, everything changes, right?
Yes,
I mean,
does, yeah.
And so it really was an emotional song for me to write, but it really came back to, God, you know, what if I can't teach my son the things that, you know, my father taught me and what's going to happen to my wife and what's going to, so that's kind of where the song came from. So when you ask me, are there any personal things that you write about? Yeah. I mean, all the songs.
So what do you guys together, what do you guys think is your greatest strength together as a band?
We can drink really. and still
nice.
Pick up our
instruments.
No, I'll play them though.
I think our greatest strength is the creativity that we have and the product that comes from that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we started so long ago, we were young, immature, and
now we're old and immature.
Yeah. So now we're old. some of it act immature, but I think where we've gone now, just the songs that we create now, I'm just so happy with personally.
I would say, you know, our strength is obviously that we really like each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get each other. We know each other's shortcomings.
That's true.
Our limitations, and we, you know, we've got limitations, and but yet together we build off those limitations, and you know, Steve and I are brothers, obviously. And
yeah, but you guys don't always get along.
but in a lot of ways, that's obviously what's helped contribute to our longevity. It's not like, you know.
That's true.
You know, the band has been an integral part of Steve and I's life for a long time. You know, so we've been kind of partners in this, through thick and thin,
mm-hmm.
especially the thick.
That's true. And the band's gone through changes through the years too, and it's stood the test of time,
right?
Which is, that's probably, I'd say that's a great strength right there.
That's the longevity. I mean, you figure if you work at something long enough and hard enough that, you know, hopefully you're not getting worse, you know, hopefully you're getting better. and you know, I think the cultivation, at least for us as a band, was this album. I think we feel very strongly about it. You know, that we think it's a good album. And it's exactly that. It's an album. I know nowadays everyone wants a song for here and a song. And no one listens to albums anymore, but we honestly put this thing together from the standpoint that we wanted to create an album. So a lot of the individual tracks you hear, you know, on the radio, here or that, mm-hmm. you don't kind of get the vibe of the whole flow of the album, the transitions between songs, the kind of overall theme of the album. And we know that's not real hip nowadays because people don't buy albums, but it was something important to us.
Mm-hmm.
So we really hope that if people dig a song or two songs or three songs, that they'll get the album and listen to it as a whole, because that's really how it was meant to be listened to.
And it is a great album. I mean, it really is. Because you have this longevity as a band and as a group, what advice would you give to bands who are starting out or have put out, you know, one or two songs and they're trying to make it, you know what I mean?
I'd say hang it up, mate. This is not going to work.
You know,
just kidding.
No. I guess at least what I would say is, this is a very tough business. And when we were young, we had all kinds of, you know, thoughts of being famous, and it's really tough to do this. You just need to do it. If it's in your heart,
mm-hmm.
just keep doing it. You know, stick with it. Play the songs that you create, play what you want, try your best. And if it doesn't happen, you just gotta stay the course.
My biggest advice to any young bands out there would be, first of all, you know your gear.
Still working on
Yeah, I'm one. Still working on it. Do as I say, not as I do, mate. Practice. Take it seriously.
Yes,
practice.
Definitely practice.
Yeah. So you're ready for the shows. But my biggest advice, at least creatively, would be don't go chasing trends.
Mm.
Musical trends come and go. They change like the wind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, find out who you are musically and what you are musically.
Yep.
And be the best that you can be at that, regardless of whether it's cool or it's hip, you know, because you're never gonna, you know, chase a trend and catch it in time to really capitalize on it. Sure, there's probably examples of that, but on the whole, you know, start the trend yourself. Be who you are.
Yes.
Do the best that you can at it. Be the best that you can at it. You know, and I will honestly say that we've done that. You know, of course we've experimented, you know, sonically before, but on the whole, I can honestly say that even if you go back and listen to our old stuff, it's still Broken Romeo. You know, it's, we are what we are, and we try to do the best that we can at what we do well. And that's kind of how we've approached it. And I honestly think that, you know, rock music, guitar music, it's kind of been down and out for a while all the, you know, pop music, but yeah. I feel like it's kind of coming back. And I mean, look at Foo Fighters' last record. That was a rocking record. Love that record.
Yeah.
And it's up for several Grammys, and they're selling out Wembley Stadium, and they're a rock band. They're a guitar rock band. And, you know, and so that would be my advice.
That's good.
I'm pushing really hard for the auto tune T-Pain effect on the vocals on our next album.
Do not listen to Steve. We're trying to gain people to listen to us. Not push.
Yeah, you don't want to be all like the Black Eyed Peas and, you know.
Please, no. Although Freddie's going to audition for it.
So what are the goals for Broken Romeo for 2012?
Sell a million, I don't know.
10 million, yeah. You know, honestly, we are so, like, proud of this last album. I think we'd all be in agreement in saying that if we could just get this out to more people and just show them, hey, this is some awesome music that you haven't heard before. I think that would be a huge goal for us.
I'm not going to go into we've already gone into a lot of long stories, but I think Desperation Days in a lot of ways was a metaphor for the state of the band actually about, 8 months ago. And there was a point where we weren't sure we were even going to make the record. But when we all decided that we were going to do it, we decided that it had to be a reason to basically continue as a band, really, because, like you said, we've all got a bunch of stuff going on. We've all got different interests. And I think what brought us together was the fact that the album did turn out. It exceeded our expectations, really did. And so for 2012, really, and I've kind of started doing this, we just want to get it out there. We're trying to get it on as many stations as we can, trying to win one fan at a time, really, and hope that fan will tell two other fans and that fan will tell three other fans and see where it goes. And I think that's kind of where we're at with 2012.
Well, it's interesting that you said that because I heard you guys, heard about you guys through Diamond Sam LaValerie, who is a very good friend of mine. And
he's awesome.
Yeah, he is.
he's a crack. I spent New Year's Eve with him online. But
yeah, so did I.
there,
I didn't remember that.
He's a crack. I love that guy. Yeah. I don't know him. I know him too. He's a crack-up. I love it. Yeah.
But that was how I first heard your music, and then I got it, and, he played it to his listeners. I heard it, and now I'm playing it to mine, and, one of the stations I'm on has got you guys in rotation now, so, like you said, one fan at a time, and that's trickling down, you see? it's a really awesome effect, how go from one DJ to two to three to four, playing your music just from one person.
Right, I mean, if you can't go out and tour, and play 300 shows a year at every bar that'll have you, which is, granted, is a great way to build a fan base. But if you can't do that, what can you do? You can tour regionally. So we've talked about playing some dates in Southern California and Los Angeles and San Diego. And, we'll play the Phoenix market and obviously we'll play in Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
But we're trying to win fans. We're thinking beyond the Southwest region, and we're exploring things with some films, getting our music into some films, maybe TV commercials, and pretty much anything we can do, given our fact that Japan, the rainforest, huge in the rainforest. They don't have radios.
But you guys are huge. They know who Broken Romeo is. That's
right.
Yeah,
that's right.
But in all seriousness, I mean, that's, I'm learning a lot about the whole, social media thing and mm-hmm. just trying to connect with fans and doing what we can, It doesn't help to have a great record and then not talk to anyone or be afraid to send it to anyone or, afraid to send it to a blog because they might give you a bad review. So what, if they review it, at least they care, so we've been lucky so far. The reviews that we have gotten have been great. So, we've been fortunate in that, but, just basically don't be afraid, get it out there, let the chips fall where they may.
Exactly. I have a really great question from a Twitter user, Insane Lane.
I know him. Yeah.
Yes. He would like me to ask, who would you say would be the first person in the band most likely to be found passed out somewhere?
That's a tough question. I would say for sure Ari.
No. You know that's not true.
It would be me, yeah.
Yeah, based on past experiences, it would be James.
No, I wouldn't be passed out. I would not be passed out in an alley. I would be passed out on my couch. The difference.
Okay, the only reason he'd be on his couch is because we would have to take him.
You'd have to take him home.
Yes. So, the answer to that question would be James.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Now, but in fairness, I've never passed out in an alley. Okay.
Well, that's good to know.
It was a patch of grass that didn't grow too well in my old apartment complex. For some reason, I always found that same patch.
It just kept appearing.
The vomit killed the grass.
Poor grass.
Where did the grass kill the vomit? I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Thanks, Lane, for that question, by the way.
Yeah, that was a good question. So do you guys have any upcoming shows?
We do. Actually, we're playing a show tomorrow.
Woohoo!
Ever heard of Wembley?
Oh, be quiet.
We're Wembley Bisbee. It's a gas truck stop. And,
it's like a miniature model of Wembley.
Yeah, we're playing that.
We're playing
out full of ants.
We're playing in Tucson tomorrow at the Hut down on 4th Avenue.
We're inviting all your listeners to come down.
Absolutely.
All over the world.
See, the problem with that is this would be a Monday show. So they'd be late.
We're playing tomorrow night at the Hut. It's actually our first gig for 2012, so we're itching to get out there and play. And we're also playing February 18th. And I don't know if anyone's watched X Factor. I assume someone has.
Yes.
It's a pretty popular show, but
a
girl from Tucson actually did quite well in X Factor, and she's been on the music scene for a while, but a lot of buzz about her. Her name is Tora Woloshin, but she goes by Tora. And she's actually doing her CD release that night, and we were very honored that they asked us to open the show.
That's very cool.
So we're playing that on February 18th, and we'll be in Phoenix in April 28th up in Glendale. And we'll probably be booking a couple more shows. We've actually made a concerted effort to really go out and play shows.
They're bringing me out of retirement.
Yeah, Steve's the Mick Mars of the band. He's 5 foot tall and doesn't move a lick.
Damn, that's funny.
But he can still wail.
Yeah, that's right.
And like I said, we are planning to probably do a Southern California tour in the summer. We've got some contacts out there, and they've offered to book us. So we're kind of hoping to let the album, hopefully trickle into those markets a little bit and try to capitalize on that. But
and Brian May could find his mailbox.
Yes, by that. Yes, that's fantastic. <Yeah. laughs> So.
All right. So where can listeners find your music and information about the band, like, websites and social media, all that fun stuff?
Well, if you just Google Broken Romeo, you'll find about 400 pages of material. But we've been working the Facebook, which
a lot.
We've actually pointed at our domain, www.brokenromeo.com. Mm-hmm. We'll take you to our Facebook page right now until we get our regular website set back up. But brokenromeo.com, Twitter, follow us on Twitter. We love Twitter.
Yes.
So we're at Broken Romeo. So, twitter.com/brokenromeo.
And music, where can they get the music?
Music, we're on, we're pretty much everywhere. We're on SoundCloud and Reverb Nation if you want to hear the album. We've made both sites that you can stream the whole album
nice.
Entirety. So if you want to listen to the album. And we figure if people really like it and dig it and want to support us, then they'll go to iTunes or CD Baby or Amazon and buy the album. Because, it's great. There's a lot of free music out there, and we've been more than willing to make a lot of our music free. But in the end, if you want to support the band and you really want to make us feel good that what we're doing is reaching people, it's obviously,
worth something.
Yeah, it's worth something. We want people to buy the album or the digital album. And we've been fortunate. We've had quite a few sales, way more digital sales than CD sales, go figure. But if you want the CD, you can always go to Desperation Days. DAZE.com. That'll take you to our CD Baby site. You can get a hard copy there. But if you want an autograph copy, if that means something to you, by all means, hit us up on Twitter, hit us up on Facebook, hit us up on email, info@brokenromeo.com, and we'll work something out. We've got a PayPal account. You can pay us that way. We'll ship it to you.
Even Steve will sign it.
Even Steve will sign it. Actually, we've got one of those stamps. We had one of these stamps.
Yeah, one of those rubber ones.
You don't know how difficult that is to get him to sign something. He's definitely the curmudgeon of the group.
I mean, you know, we've had some requests for autographed CDs, and we're happy to do them if that's what you want. Some people want shrink wrap CDs. Steve, for instance, doesn't want anything opened already. He wants it perfect.
I'm the monk fan.
Yeah.
I'm like monk.
So, yeah. So we love our fans. We hope we get new fans, and don't be afraid to come chat with us. I'm in chat rooms. You know that.
Oh, Jenna. Yeah.
I like chat. And yes, she does. Not the ones in Amsterdam. Oh, she doesn't know about those.
Or maybe I do. But we won't talk about that tonight.
We're approachable and love talking to fans. And so don't be shy. Hit us up. And we hope you love us and you want the album. Because there's plenty of copies.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining me tonight and talking. This has been a really, really great interview. I'm very honored to have you guys on my show.
Well, we're very honored that you had us.
Yeah, we're honored to be on your show. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.